Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today's guest, Trevor Turnbull, has spent the last 20 years launching bold startups, scaling a seven-figure agency, and guiding others to build businesses rooted in purpose and alignment. What sets Trevor apart isn't just his entrepreneurial track record, it's his belief that most business problems are actually personal problems in disguise. In this episode, we explore how Trevor helps coaches, consultants, and creative founders realign their inner world so their business reflects who they really are. If you've ever felt like your business is a grind or that success on paper feels empty, then this conversation is for you. Welcome to the show, Trevor.
Yeah, thanks, Janice. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
You know, I looked up on my LinkedIn when we first connected, and it was in April of 2014.
Oh, wow.
9 years ago, right? That's 9 years ago. Is that 15? It's more than that.
Yeah. 2025 yeah. Right now. 2014. Yeah.
Yeah. 11 years ago.
Yeah. So, I was about 5 years into the LinkedIn game at that point then, but it was still very early.
Yes. And I was just getting into it. And we both were in Vancouver, and met you at a networking event that you were putting on or something. And yeah, it's just a lot of water under the bridge since then. And if I can be honest here, I mean, I'm always being honest, but the fact that we just reconnected on LinkedIn again, which is really cool, I think. You've done a lot of things. You've moved and moved away and moved somewhere else. And so what's your journey to now from when I knew you? Like, give me the short version of how your life changed.
Yeah, well, you know, the LinkedIn side of this, I guess I would start with that.
Sure.
I was very heavily using LinkedIn back in those early days, creating training programs around them, doing presentations and speeches and whatnot. That was how we got connected. And
I learned a lot from you back then, I remember.
Yeah. Well, and it was still fairly new to a lot of people. Those were the days when a couple hundred million people was no big deal, right? Because the Facebooks of the world were hitting billions of people. But it's evolved over the years. And obviously that's been kind of a part of my journey even too. If I was to condense like the last 10 years, it's been everything from kind of how you said in the introduction, you know, I built up an agency that supported people with LinkedIn lead generation, and as well as expanded beyond the LinkedIn platform and included sales enablement and everything else. And then I went through the process of actually packaging up and selling a business, which was completely foreign to me until somebody said, would you be interested in selling your business? And I said, I don't know, maybe. Sounds good. Yeah. My business. So that was a huge learning curve and lots of lessons and pains along the way with that one. But, you know, around 2021, when you were referencing that we had moved away, we moved our family to Costa Rica in 2022, I believe it was, 2023. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Mexico the next year, and now we're actually back in Canada in our home in West Kelowna. But, you know, I hit a point where I basically, you know, for lack of a better term, I said that I was burnt out, right? I just, the Zoom meetings and mm-hmm. the sales conversations and the hustle mentality of entrepreneurship mm-hmm. caught up to me finally after about 15 years. And when you think about that, that's a long time to be in that kind of really high strung.
Yeah.
I can go create whatever I want. And I was proving it to myself. So therefore it was tough to quit. It was like, and we all know that like workaholism mm-hmm. is an accepted, addiction in today's world.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I honestly could say that like, I was addicted to just the next thing, the next idea, the next launch, the next bit of revenue, whatever it was, right? The next client success story. And I hit a point where I thought, I got to get out of this.
Can you just stop there for a second? I don't know this about you. Were you ever in corporate?
Not really,
Okay,
no.
so you
I had
always were entrepreneurial then.
a sales job the first 2 years out of
Okay.
university from like 2003 to 2005,
So what did you do
but
with sports? No. Was it to do with sports?
and then I had a stint there from like 2009 to 2012 where I had a sports social
That's right.
media consulting
That's right.
company.
Yeah.
Yeah, and ran a sports recruiting agency as well with Lewis Howes. And
Yeah.
yeah, I've worn a lot of hats and I've started a
Okay.
lot of different things.
So having, I ask that for a reason, because if you've always been the hustler, you knew how to make money for yourself and you saw an opportunity or you made a few mistakes along the way, but you've always really worked for yourself other than that first couple of years. That's a different mentality than people who've come from corporate, right?
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's, I don't even know exactly if there was one particular thing that kind of set me down this path. There was moments along the way, like I remembered when I got my marketing degree, because I did actually go to school and get a degree and
Yeah, okay.
never used it, but
Oh, I'm sure you've used it.
I'm sure I used it, and there
Yeah.
was lots of other major benefits, including the entrepreneurship class that I took in university. Actually,
There you
that
go.
was
They even had them back then.
they did, yeah. And now that I say that out loud, that was probably the first little stint of like spark of interest of, oh, I can just come up with an idea and just go create something, and all I need to do is really come up with a very compelling pitch deck and get in front of the right people. And in this case, it was like, be able to raise money. This was a competition thing that I did in university. But yeah, so the spark was there early, I guess. But yeah, the corporate world, I don't think it ever really attracted me. Even coming out of university, all of my friends went off to agencies and stuff, working for big companies and marketing departments, trying to climb the ladder. And yeah, I just went straight into sales and kind of got taught old school by a guy who had been doing it for 30 years, pick up the phone book, scan
Yeah.
through the yellow pages. That kind of
Yeah.
dates my age right now. But yeah, so it's been a lifetime of entrepreneurship. And with that comes all of those
Right.
conditionings, I guess you would say, which is kind of related to what you started with here too. It's very easy to become addicted to this idea that you need more ideas, you need to launch the next thing and keep growing, 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 growing. But then the argument is always at what cost, right? And I've had
Right.
enough breakdowns over the years, physically, relationships, financially, that I've started to just see this in a different light. And I'm still
What was
expecting.
the moment when you realized that alignment mattered more than achievement?
Oh, wow. I think there's been a lot of points along the way, but I would even say in that time period around 2021, when I left the company that I had sold my business to, I did a hard pivot. It was like a straight 180. It was, I'm going to stop doing this and I don't know what I'm going to do next, but I'm going to lean into asking the questions about what I should do next.
Is
And
that
that
when you moved away? That's when you moved
was
away?
right before we moved away. Yeah.
Okay. So
And it
was
was,
that pivot, was that like important to this story in that by moving to Costa Rica, you're in a whole new environment. You can is the beach
yeah.
life and
And it was a that was a piece of it, right? Because there was a part of me that at that time was just really like I say, burnt out, right? Like, and again, I don't even like using that term because what is that? It's like, well, you're not interested in what you're doing, like your habits don't match the kind of life that you think you should be living, that type of thing. But the move to Costa Rica was part of a plan to want to be able to just live in different countries, and it was always part of the vision. In fact, I read a book in like 2009. It was The Lonely Planet story. I can't remember the exact title right now, but that vision was planted back then of, oh, you mean I can create a business that I can actually do from the beach, which
Yeah.
is not realistic.
Yeah, the biggest money earner in the company that I'm with, Send Out Cards, which you're familiar with, he wrote a book called Beach Money, and that's his whole thing is beach money. And he
Right.
does literally have places all over the world. But yeah, you want to be able to earn a living by from the beach. It's a beautiful
Yeah.
concept if you like the beach. But anyway.
Totally, yeah. And it's kind of shaped my beliefs on that too. Now that we've
Sure.
lived at the beach and I've ran my business remotely in different in varying ways and stuff, like I have a different relationship to it. And more so in the context of, do I need to be somewhere else in order to actually feel fulfilled and to build the business that could be done from the beach? Or can I be here right now and be good with it? Or can you stick me in the mountains in Alaska and still be good with myself? And these were much bigger questions than
Sure.
just how do I make money while I'm, drinking margaritas type thing.
Right.
Yeah. But no, at that time, the big thing that I was going deep on the questionings of life, really,
So did you have a, if I may ask, and you don't have to answer, did you have a breakdown or did you just come to a, Hail Mary kind of come to Jesus moment, if that, I'm not even Christian, so ignore that whole comment. But you know what I mean? Like, did something
Yeah.
just,
It was a combination of a bunch of things, but the work, like the extra stress that I was feeling with the work side of things and just the load of being remote and kind of disconnected, like speaking about relationships, every conversation I had was through a Zoom conversation,
yeah.
right? And that started to really kind of get to me. But the more I started to look at things, I realized that it was a culmination of a lot of different things, right? Because of that, I was telling myself that I needed to work long hours. And because of that, I wasn't spending as much time being an attentive, present dad. And because of
Right.
that, my relationship was breaking down. And because of that, you know what I mean? It was
Yes. Yeah.
all connected. And then,
And you
yeah.
did some soul searching, obviously. Then you went inward, right?
For
Yeah.
sure. And that was one of the ways that I got reconnected with Danielle Grant, who just through some of the work that I do now, is Danielle was somebody that I turned to when I was really starting to ask those questions. Not that she had the answers, but she's just really good at being able to ask the right questions and hold the space and to even call up when needed too, when a person's navigating that world, right?
Yeah.
So I want to do what I love. I want to make lots of money doing it because there's nothing wrong with me making money because it's
Right.
an abundant world. And at the same time, I don't want to be stressed out about it and I don't want to work long hours. And we look at the world that's mirrored to us and we think, how's that even possible? So,
Right.
asking those questions allowed me to at least step back and see what is possible and what needs to change. How do I need to change in order to create that reality, not necessarily what around me is changing, but who
Right.
we need to become.
Right. And did you, I mean, how old were your kids at that time? Were they little?
They were 4 and 5. Yeah.
Okay. And now they are.
Now they're 7 and 8. Yeah,
Okay. So it's not that long ago
it was
in the
only 3
scheme
years
of
ago.
things, but it's still, in my estimation, because I'm way beyond that, it's still early and it's a great time to do it because your kids, you still have a long way to go with your kids and to be with them and to be part of a big part of their life. And that's so important. So important.
Yeah.
Okay. So you talk about resonance and frequency in the work that you do. Well, first of all, I think I said in the beginning that you help coaches, consultants, and creative founders and business, probably entrepreneurs, who are maybe struggling with what you struggled with, and you can help them because you've been there, done that. Yes? Okay.
Yeah.
So, how does somebody know when they're out of sync with their business? Is there a pattern that you recognize when people come to you?
Well, it's interesting. That's an interesting question because I think everything that I'll speak about is always in context of what I've
Of
experienced. So
course.
I can speak from that perspective.
Yeah.
And when I was in the quote unquote grind of my business and really growing, it was expanding and revenues were increasing and results were expanding and everything else, I never thought there was any kind of problem. I was just like, this is amazing. This is what it's supposed to be like. It wasn't until I actually intentionally slowed down, which, to be honest, I'm pretty grateful that I chose to quote unquote slow down before a major breakdown, because
Of course.
this is one of the byproducts that I don't think people think about, is that usually we don't create change unless, we go through
We
something.
have a crisis.
Yeah, like a physical crisis, or you go bankrupt, or you get divorced, or death in the family, or whatever it might be. So to have that thought process of like, this doesn't feel right, and I need to hard stop right now. Like, it was actually quite shocking in my life in general, because even my wife too, she's like, "What are you talking about? Like, you got
Yeah,
to,
where did this come from?
where did this come from?" And people want to label it as like a midlife crisis, but it wasn't like that though. It was more of an awakening, right? I started to see what was outside of what I was used to on a daily basis. Like, for example, I would look and see people that were building businesses but didn't seem stressed out. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're building a business, you should be stressed out. And I thought, well, maybe some people have figured this stuff out. And, what are the tells? I think your question was really around like, when does a person understand that they're maybe at that point? It's nothing that screams at you, it's a whisper.
Love that.
Yeah, the whisper that like, is this it? Like, I've got all the things. I'm running the business. I got the teams. I maybe even I moved my family to Costa Rica. I've done all the things that seem like I'm supposed to be doing on my checklist of you're living your dream life, and it still just doesn't feel like enough.
Something's missing. And that's when you start to look inward. And
For
is that,
sure.
and that's when you reached out. Did you already know Danielle, or had you?
I did. I had known her for about 3 or 4 years before that because she was actually the mindset mentor inside of a program that I had called Expert Selling, the Expert Selling Machine.
Awesome.
But this side of her, the more spiritual side, the deeper conversation beyond just the mental side, that was all new. I knew that that was kind of her jam and the thing that she had spent 2 decades really going deep on with her own personal experience. But that was the first time I had experienced it myself. Yeah.
Well, now I have to ask that because most men would go, "Oh, really? Come on." Right? You don't solve things that way. This is woo-woo kind of stuff. But you didn't. So had you experienced any sort of spiritual side of things in any part of your life, like through a parent or through someone in your childhood? I'm just curious.
Yeah, not really. Like, my mom is very spiritual. She's been a yoga instructor for 25 years. So there's definitely little pieces of that that you could say, like, oh, you kind of grew up around this a little bit. But no, that's funny you say that because I was Mr. Don't feed me that woo-woo crap. Like,
Okay, good. This is good. This is good
yeah.
because, because it's typical, and also a lot of guys won't own up to even having that thought process of, that being of interest or anything. Because I know it as started for me with my mother when she was searching for something beyond, and when she, I used to, this is probably a long, no, it's a long time ago, like many moons ago. And I used to go visit her in California, and she'd say, "I want you to go to this center and work with this guy and just see what you think." And it was her trying to find some kind of spiritual peace. And I was always interested in it. But when she died, I thought she was on my shoulder all the time. And I was starting to go further into looking into different things. And it doesn't mean anything other than you're opening yourself to other options for things. And for you, I'm guessing it helped with whatever you did has helped you calm down and not be so stressed.
For sure. And I think that was probably the starting point, and the hardest thing to do was to actually slow down enough to be able to sit with my thoughts and not feel like I was going crazy. Because the idea of slowing down when I was functioning at such a high pace, like I
It's
called
scary.
it, yeah, I reference it as like a high functioning, high producing, workaholic entrepreneur. Like, it was, it's a badge. You almost like work your way into it. When you get into the entrepreneurship world, they say, you got to grind, you want to do this thing, you work from 9 to 5, and then from 5 to 9, you're working on your thing. So you get indoctrinated into this way of being, and then a decade goes by and you go, holy cow,
What happened?
this is who I am. But I'm wired that way because of what I've let into my brain, like who I'm surrounding myself with, what I'm hearing, and then also what I'm telling myself. And like I say, it's the subtlest of little things. It's hard to even point to one particular thing that allowed me to kind of look at business in a different way. It was a culmination of a lot of stuff, but it was all, it'd be listening to a Tony Robbins thing, because he's pretty mainstream, right? You'd listen to a Tony Robbins thing, and every once in a while you'd be like, huh, that makes a lot of sense. Ah, I'm too busy for that. I don't go back to it, right? And then you hear another one and you're like, oh, geez, there's that same thing again. And before you know it, you're listening to Alan Watts. And before you know it, you're going to a breathwork session. And before you know it,
Okay,
you're
interesting.
starting a men's group. This is what I this
Yes,
is
that's
my
what you
path, right?
did. Yeah, you did that. Okay, so how do you then help high-performing individuals shift from being on that treadmill to purposeful action to make some changes?
Well, there's a lot of pieces to that, but I would say that, with the experience and background that I have, not just in building my own businesses, but in helping other people do the same, I understand the principles of building a business or launching an offer or whatever it might be, right? There's a process that you can follow. And as long as you go deep enough on each piece, or you have enough time or money to be able to invest to grow something, it's fairly predictable. But if I was to say, what should we ultimately be measuring as success in your business and in your life, and ask the person that question, you'd get a variety of answers. To some people, it'd be, well, I want $1 million and I want to live in Costa Rica and I want houses in multiple places and I want this car and all those kind of things. And to the next person, it's, I want to be healthy and vibrant and I want really deep relationships. And I want to be able to, one of mine is like, I will surf with my grandkids one day.
Love it.
So who do I need to be right now in order to make that reality happen in 20 or 30 years? So it always starts with reflection. And then, what is a person ultimately measuring? Because to me, there's these layers, right? I call them the pillars of wealth, is kind of the top level, which is your relation, it's your finances to a certain degree, because we still need money to live in this world and to buy stuff and to travel and all that. But it's also your physical health, it's your relationships, it's your connection to self and purpose, it's your mental health. And below that, then there's foundations of business, your marketing, your sales, your operations, all of those things. And then below that is just the nuts and bolts of, like, how do you actually execute on all of that? But a big part of it's reflection. Starting with, like, the why. It's kind of a cliché thing to say, but
Why are you doing what you do? What is
what's the vision for the future? And then somebody says it and you go, why? Like, why do you want that?
And okay, so what was I going to say? Well, here's before I get to that, this question interested me when I came across it. What would you say are some subtle ways that entrepreneurs force their business instead of flowing with it? Because I want to get into your 75 flow thing.
Subtle ways that they.
They force their business instead of flowing with it. So,
I would say the one thing that really pops into my head, and I actually addressed this today on a client call, is the whole conversation around time. So I find that even people that are a little bit more kind of operating from the spiritual side of life, where they just, they're adaptable and they flow with what is, and they don't get too stressed about stuff. They don't actually look at their calendar and like intentionally create space for them to be creative, or to, have some, and I don't even want to say control, but just some sense of, like, the direction that they're going in. And the opposite side of that is having a calendar that ultimately controls your life, right? Because there can be extremes on both sides. And that's usually a telltale. If, whenever I'm working with somebody, that's one of the very first things that we do is like a time audit. And then not just a time audit of where your time's going, but also an energy audit. right? Of these things that you're doing, which ones feed you with energy and which ones drain you of energy? It tells a lot
Sure, it does.
towards where a person is
Yeah.
and where the misalignment might be to where they say they want to go and how they're operating right now. Which you'll notice has, I'm not saying anything about strategy here, right? It's this.
No, but I like it. And even at that time and that piece that you do with them, do you get some aha moments pretty quickly about that?
For
When,
sure. And
yeah.
also a lot of resistance too.
Oh, really?
Well,
Okay.
this is how I've always done things. How could I
Yes.
possibly change or
Yeah.
whatever it might be? It might even be with a piece of software. The thing that I ran into today with one of the clients that I was working with is, well, I don't really want to use Google and Gmail and Google Calendar. I'm used to using Hotmail and this webmail service and this thing and that thing. And I had to say, like, are you committed to being the CEO of your business, or do you just want like a little side hobby where every once in a while you miss a meeting link and you don't know where to find something and you got to email it to yourself? Like, are you ready to like run a business, or do you want to keep doing that?
Yeah.
Says, I want to run a business. Like, okay, so then we got to lean into this thing that you feel so uncomfortable with to actually get yourself more centered into how
Right.
a seven-figure CEO of a solo business
Yeah.
operate. And that usually has a little bit to do with systems, but a whole lot more to do with that person's feeling towards, structure and rigidity.
Oh, I can totally identify with that. I've been fighting the whole thing of having help do the things that I don't like to do because I'm such a control freak.
The
It's
first part,
hard. It's,
it is
yeah.
your control freak
Yeah,
nature.
it's really hard. I know because nobody could do it better than me, right?
Course.
Of course. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, it's crazy. And and with some of those things, you may see it intellectually, but it's still really hard to let go. And so that's why they need people like you, I think.
Yeah, and with technology, I'll say too, like we spent a little bit of time before this call talking
Yes.
some ChatGPT stuff and just how to have it better understand what you're trying to do so that it produces things that in a more authentic way. And it's very easy to kind of start to get light bulb moments of like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This used to
Yeah.
take me 4 hours.
I know. I know.
And it's
That's what I'm finding with
slippery
that.
slope.
But that I'm still in control of, that type of thing. If
For
I
sure.
have somebody, I had a VA for a while who did a whole bunch of birthday cards for me that were like Facebook friends and people that I didn't speak to very often. And I created the messages and I'd chosen sort of the group of cards I wanted to use. I still had to look at them before she sent them out. Right? She'd chosen a picture of the person, and I maybe thought, oh no, that's not very flattering. I wouldn't put that picture on there. And so I had to, so I'm like, I'm defeating my own purpose. So yeah, it's hard, some of that stuff. But it's good when you work with someone who can help you get through it for sure. So,
And those are great examples though, too. I just wanted to acknowledge that. Because it's really speaking about a specific micro example that when you compound that with 100 other things, all of a
Right.
sudden be sh shapes an identity. And then
Yes.
when your identity is attached to that, it's really hard to dismantle that. And my wife is hiring an executive assistant right now, a full-time one.
Wow.
And so it's not a small investment. It's still
No.
a very good investment for where she's at in the stage of her business. But she said honestly to me the other day, she's like, I know that I could probably get 80% of the work that I do off my plate. And the part that I'm most worried about is, what am I going to do with all that time? And I was like, I appreciate that honesty because the answer is whatever you want.
Yeah,
But the
nice.
idea of going to the gym more or taking the kids to the beach or
Yeah,
reading a
doesn't feel.
book, it
Yeah.
just feels so awkward that
Yes.
he's breaking through that. And that's really what a big part of what I do is. And there's lots of layers to it.
Love it. Now,
So it's less
talk to
about
me
the
about this.
strategy.
This is your newest thing, this 75 flow. It's your project, but I think it's teaching it too, right?
Well, it's going to be.
Yeah, going to
So,
be. That's what I mean. Talk to me about
yeah.
that.
And
Fascinating.
there's a reason why it's going to be too, because I don't know exactly when you'll publish this, but it'll probably be before I'm officially done my 75 days.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, but when I started this, it was about, well, it's just over a month ago, actually. I think I'm on like day 35 right now. But the build up to it was, I've done a really good job of changing my identity and going through that uncomfortable ego, like facing the ego and going, is this who I am? Could I operate a business this way? Am I actually showing up how I want to? And then I hit a point where I thought, imagine if I was to really commit to this new way of being and do it in a way where I had layers of accountability, because I had proven to myself that when I surround myself with the right people, I put a little bit of structure to something and I have some accountability and I check boxes, I change. I change. I don't make excuses and say, oh, well, I got busy this week, so I didn't do it. So I created this structure and I called it 75 Flow, kind of on a play on words to the 75 Hard, right? Because most people know about 75 Hard. Are you not familiar with 75?
No.
So 75 Hard is like, so you want to create change in your life. You're going to do these, I think it's like six or seven things for 75 days in a row. And it's, exercise and
Oh, yeah.
eating and reading a book and working out twice a day. One of them has to be outside, drink like 3 liters of water.
Oh my
Like it's
God.
pretty extreme,
Yeah.
but it works. And it works because it doesn't create any kind of room for error. So if you miss one of the things on the 75 days, you failed and you start over again. So it's meant to be this kind of like, you want to create change? Here you go. 75 Hard, this will change your life. And it
Okay.
does. It changes people's lives. And I've never done it officially, but I've done versions of that numerous times. When I said I wanted to get into better shape, I posted a photo of myself and said, I'm going to put a picture of myself up every single month with my progress for the next 6 months. There's no backing out of this. Most people don't do that, right? Because it's
Right.
almost an extreme level of that. So I kind of played it off of that, knowing that people are familiar with that. But for me, 75 Flow was really about just a new rhythm. So the prerequisites of it were audit my calendar, and anything that shouldn't be there needs to go. Like it just has to be taken right off the calendar. It was also turn off the news. So not that I had any kind of straight up addiction to the news, but it was just in my orbit a little too much. And as I started seeing like the elections happen and everything, and just the, I noticed the people around me and the way that they were talking and what I was absorbing. And I thought to myself, this is not serving me at all. So I thought, I'm just turning this one off completely. Another big one was social media. So as an entrepreneur, we think that we need to be everywhere and kind of post for exposure. And I thought, what if I turned them all off and just focused on one, which is ultimately how we reconnected, because I went
Yes, that's
all in
right.
again on LinkedIn, and not just to like mass message people, but to actually connect with people and build relationships and share and comments and all of that stuff. So there was a handful of prerequisites, and then the ongoing every day was a lot of things I was already doing, but it just gave me a little more structure, like reflection in the morning and the evening, and movement, but not necessarily at the extreme level of trying to build muscle, but instead doing it differently. So like stretching and doing mobility exercises, which ironically, 4 days into starting this, I tweaked my back, and it was like a reminder of, oh, you want to stretch more, right? Let me give you a reason. So it's things like that. And like I say, I can go into all the details, but essentially this is what it's for. It's a rhythm reset for the busy entrepreneur, just like me, wears a badge of honor as a high-performing workaholic entrepreneur who makes things happen when I put my head down, but I just know that I don't want to operate that way anymore. And at the same time, I don't want my business to slow down. I don't want to stop serving. I don't want to reduce my vision and my mission. I want it all. But can I do that from a place where I actually take more conscious breaks and I get out into nature in the middle of the day? And, I I filter what I bring into my into my existence and what
I
I read.
definitely smell a book in the works.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, definitely coming after this, right? Yeah. Are you a journaler? Do you journal now or
Oh
do you?
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Okay.
constantly journaling. I feel like I've been creating a book and a
Yeah.
documentary for the last 4 years, really.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming, I know. Okay, one last question related to work, and to your life. For someone listening who feels out of sync but can't articulate why, what's one first step that you would recommend they take?
Well, you already said it, which is to start journaling.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like, and I'm going to say this from the perspective of my old self that would hear the spiritual stuff and say,
Yeah.
I get that woo-woo stuff out of here. The idea of journaling to me 4 years ago was a waste of time. I thought, what's the point of this? Especially, I got a computer. I could just type my
Yeah.
answer. Why would I grab this book right here and a pen and
Yeah.
actually write in it? And I'll tell you why. One, it forces you to slow down. Which again, the person listening to this might still be thinking, why do I need to slow down? I still don't get this. But one of the best things and the easiest things that you can do from a journaling perspective to like when you start feeling those feelings and the whispers of this doesn't feel right or I feel like I'm on the wrong path is just start doing something called morning pages. It's part of a book. What the heck's the name of the book now? I can't even remember. Oh, The Artist's Way. The Artist's Way.
Oh, right. Yep.
Can't remember the name of the author off the top of my
I
head.
know that book. Yep.
Yeah, she talks about this though, morning pages, and it's got really simple instructions. First thing in the morning, you wake up, you grab your pen and paper, and you just start writing. It doesn't matter what you write. I'll give you an example. Woke up at 4:30 today. Man, am I ever tired? My kids hardly slept last night. Why won't they just go to sleep and stay in their own beds? Anyways, I think I need some coffee. Wow, the birds are really chirping this morning. Geez, I can't believe the sun's up. Do you know what I mean? It's just like,
Yes,
just get it out of your head. And all the negative stuff, all of the, oh, I should have done that yesterday, or oh man, I got a busy schedule today. How am I going to make this happen? You start to release those things, and it doesn't make your life's problems go away. But
no.
it just brings the load of your mental capacity down just a notch. And if you do it consistently over time, you're going to find that it changes your life. Like I can't
Wow.
explain it. You just have to do it. And I can only speak
There's
personal experience, but it's been a game.
yeah, there's the rub. I've got journal after journal sitting here and I don't journal. I have to, something has to hit me up the side of the head to change, to make some changes. And you know, I don't think you're ever too late to do that. It's never too late to do it. I've tried it over the years and never been successful in being consistent. I don't know why. So I might try again. You might have inspired
Well,
me.
and morning pages is a good one, but it
Yeah.
still can be kind of awkward for people. Like, I don't know what to write. Or
Yeah.
even if the whole point is, well, stop thinking about it and just start writing, it still can trip people up. So even, in my 75 flow, I've got a handful of questions that I answer every single morning. And then I do the
Okay.
same thing in the evening. And it takes me like 7 to 10 minutes. So it's not that much time, but it just gets me into the routine and the consistent practice of it. And
Love it.
eventually you start kind of craving it. You're like, I got to go journal before I start my day.
Interesting. Okay, I think that's
Little
cool.
bits,
You
little bits.
have this on your on your LinkedIn profile, which I love. Because the goal isn't just to grow, it's to build from your being, not get buried in your doing. You don't need more tasks. You need clarity, resonance, realignment. I think you said that really well. I think it's a great place to wrap up. And before we go, though, I'm going to ask you my question that I like to ask. I don't ask everybody, but I'm feeling it right now. So my favorite word is curiosity, and I would like you to answer this two-part question. One, do you believe curiosity is innate or learned? And two, what are you most curious about these days?
I believe curiosity is suppressed would be my
Ooh,
best answer to that
I love
because
it. No one's ever said that. I love it. Yeah.
I don't think it's learned. I think it's inside of all of us. I see it in my kids every single day. You know, when they come out into the backyard and they look down on the ground and see that pile of ants, they will stay there for hours just staring at them and wondering, how did that little one carry that big one? And it's there. It just gets suppressed and squashed as we get older because it's a sign of flightiness, or like you're not responsible. You should be more focused and committed and driven in a certain direction. But curiosity is sparked again through silence. It's sparked through reflection, through meditation. And I'll just asterisk this too to say, a version of me 5 years ago again wouldn't talk like this, but I've experienced it. So now I can say that, you know, that creativity, that curiosity comes back when I actually stop, slow down, and give myself permission to actually be curious.
Love
And
it.
what was the second part of the question
Just
again?
what are you most curious about these days? But you've probably answered that in one way or another. But go ahead.
I would honestly say I am most curious about how I can best educate and empower my children to grow up in this world, because we've had them in three different scenarios of education. One that was straight up like on a beach in Costa Rica. One that was very structured in Mexico, but a private school and really cool experience. And then one that is the public system here. And we haven't found the perfect fit yet. So there's still a curiosity of like, I don't really know. Like, should it be nature school? Should we just stick them in the bush for a while and let them pick up snakes? I'm not sure.
That's what my granddaughter's year in kindergarten has been, half in the forest and half in the classroom. And believe me, she'd rather be in the forest than in the classroom. I know, it's really interesting. Now she's going to go to public school. It's going to not be a pretty sight, I don't think. We'll
And I
see.
would say that the foundation of that nature school is to embrace and encourage curiosity.
Curiosity, exactly. Absolutely. I know, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for having this conversation with me. We didn't have coffee. I don't drink coffee, but it felt like that kind of a coffee chat. Where can my audience find you if they want
So
to reach out and find out more about you? Where would you like them to look?
sure, yeah. My website, trevorturnbull.com, and I am exclusively right now on LinkedIn. I'm not
Right.
really using the other social platforms. I'll go back to them at some point,
Yeah.
but yeah, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm there, you know, a couple of times throughout the day. I don't live on it. I don't have notifications on, but it is an incredible tool to connect people and
Yeah.
to continue conversations and to share ideas and
Yeah.
yeah, I'm grateful that we got reconnected and that we're
I
doing
am too.
this, and we'll share more about this conversation and bring more awesome people into our lives.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Thanks for being here. If today's conversation with Trevor struck a chord, you're not alone because I enjoyed it immensely. The truth is, when our inner world is off, our business relationships, whether with clients, partners, or even ourselves, start to suffer. Trevor's reminder to lead with energy, clarity, and resonance is more than advice. It's a call to create success that actually feels like success. So thanks for tuning in to Relationships Rule, and remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know, I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.